learning how to forgive and forgive on a consistent basis is something that we need, we probably all need to grow in. We can't harbor forgiveness inside of us. So what I want to do today is I want to talk some about forgiveness, and I want to start by looking at what I'm calling our foundation for forgiveness. So we can look at Hebrews 10, verses 11 through 18. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." And then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Through one sacrifice, we have a new covenant. Our sins are forgiven. No more is there a need for any sacrifice to be done for us to experience forgiveness. If God has given us that as a foundation for forgiveness, then we should be able to forgive others. We don't have to wait for someone to come and apologize to us. We can forgive them without any apologies, because Christ died for us while we were still enemies. He didn't wait for us to come up and apologize to him to forgive us. He forgave us early on. And when we believe in him and trust in him, our sins are forgiven. But he paid that price a long, long time ago for us. This is what J. Adams says about a definition for forgiveness. Forgiveness is a lifting of the charge of guilt from another, a formal declaration of the fact of that fact, and a promise made and kept never to remember the wrong against him in the future. Lifting of the charge, or basically what he is saying, is letting go of the offense. Just let it go. Let God deal with it. And it says never to remember wrong against them in the future. How many here can totally forget when they've been offended? That you can say, "I forgive you, and I will never remember that offense again." None of us. We remember things, especially when we are hurt. We remember them for a long, long time. The point here is, even though we remember it, we never bring it up again. We never use it to fight with our spouse. We never use it to belittle a friend by bringing it up again. We put it away and we let God deal with it. That old saying about let go and let God, I think in this instance, we probably should let the offense go. Let God deal with the person, because he will deal with that person in his own manner. And we don't have to worry about it. So when we come back, what we're going to do is we're going to look at forgiveness, our natural response to it, what our biblical response should be to it, and how we need to treat one another if we've been offended. So we're going to take a short break here. Oh. What a great truth to contemplate, that we are forgiven at the cross. So I want to talk briefly. In our 1A groups, we're going through a book, Who Am I in Christ? And basically the book is contrasting who we were before we came to Christ and who we are now in Christ. And I want to look at our natural response when we are offended. It says, some of my readings, it says that human nature, we're kind of wired to retaliate when we've been offended by somebody. Our pride, our self-esteem gets hurt. We're disappointed. We want someone to pay us back for the harm that they've caused us. We tell ourselves things like, I won't forgive him because he never accepts for responsibility for what he does. I would be a hypocrite if I forgave him because I don't feel like forgiving. Forgiving is only for weak people. Well, you really don't know what they did. If you knew what they did, you would understand why I can't forgive them. Or someone might say, you know, I don't know how to forgive. We tell ourselves lots of things to kind of justify in our own minds why we won't forgive somebody. In most religions and philosophies throughout the world, you will find that forgiveness is a common theme. Most of them talk about forgiveness for our own self-benefit. And it's based on our own ability to where we don't want to feel bad anymore about holding something against somebody. Whereas for the Christian, I think what we're going to see today, in all instances, it's not an option. We are to forgive. If our natural man feels that he is compelled to retaliate and not forgive, once we become believers, then we need to grow in the new way, our new man. We need to learn how to respond to an offense in a biblical manner. And so that's what I want to look at a little bit today. So the first point I want to look at is God's desire for us regarding sin. And this is out of Matthew. It's out of the Lord's Prayer. And it says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, this is after the Lord's Prayer, I'm sorry. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, this is not talking about salvation. This is talking about your day-to-day life. If in your daily life, if you cannot forgive others, then you have a problem and you're in sin. And when we are in sin, God does not bless us the way that he can if we are right with him. And so if you are unforgiving, you need to deal with that. If you want to maintain that right relationship with God. God's desire then is for us to be forgiving people. In Colossians 3, we read this. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive, and above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So we need to forgive as God has forgiven us. When we were forgiven, we were enemies, we were rebellious, we were haters of what was good, but God still reached down and saved us. And in Luke 6, we read this. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over with will be put into your lap, for with the measure you use it will be measured back to you. God wants us to display his character when we deal with other people. He wants us to put on these things. Our old man would not put these things on, but in Christ we have the ability to put these things on and to start living correctly before God. We should be merciful, not judgmental of other people. We should be forgiving when we have been offended. In fact, here, you all might also want to say, this is like a command for us. We need to be unforgiving if we want to grow spiritually. Our example of forgiveness is Christ on the cross. When he's there, and in Luke it says this, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. On the cross, when he's been tortured and beaten, and is probably at the end of his physical exhaustion, he still has the wherewithal to say, Father, forgive them. And some of you might be sitting there going, well, you know, he was God and man at the same time, and he had the ability to do that. Well, if you really want to go down that road, look at Acts 7. Here we see Stephen demonstrating the same ability to forgive that Christ did. In Acts 7, it says this, as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. We all have the ability, under the most strenuous, painful circumstances, to be able to forgive. And we can do that because our foundation is Christ did it for us at the cross. We have the ability to deal with the offender, or let God deal with the offender. What's our goal concerning forgiveness? In Ephesians 4, we read this, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. We are to become imitators of God. That's what our goal is concerning forgiveness, concerning our life. We are to become tenderhearted and forgiving one another, just as God has forgiven us. This is what Charles Spurgeon says about forgiveness. To be forgiven is such sweetness that honey is tasteless in comparison with it. But yet there is one thing sweeter still, and that is to forgive. As it is more blessed to give than to receive, so to forgive rises a stage higher in experience than to be forgiven. Think back in your life of a time when someone gave you something that helped meet your need. Say you were out of food and someone gave you money so you could go buy food. How good that felt. Then think again, though, of a time when you've been able to reach out, minister to somebody, and meet their need. What type of feeling does that produce in you? For me, it produces a greater feeling and appreciation that I am able to reach out and serve somebody. And Charles Spurgeon is saying here that we have that same with forgiveness. We've been forgiven. But as we exercise forgiveness to other people, It produces something different in us. Yeah, our ability to love increases as we are able to forgive other people. So what's the consequence if we don't forgive? What does the Bible tell us about that? Let me just recap a little story here, and then we'll read something out of Matthew 18. In Matthew 18, there's a story of a master who has a servant that owes him a lot. And so the master calls him before him and is going to punish him, and the servant pleads with him to forgive his debt. And the master says, forgives him his debt. Well, the servant, as he leaves, he finds someone that owes him money. And it says in the thing that he was so aggravated with this person that he grabbed him by the throat and was choking him and telling him, give me what you owe me. And the man pleaded for him for his life, not to have to be able to repay. But the man did not forgive him. The master hears about this story, and then this is what he says to the servant in Matthew 18. You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you entreated me. Should you not also have mercy on your fellow servant, even as I had mercy on you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that he was owed him. So shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Scripture is found where there are lots of people that have been handed over to the world because they are in sin and they are unrepentant of their sin. John Piper says this about our consequences. The point of Matthew 6:15 and 18:35 is that if we hold fast to an unforgiving spirit, we will be handed over to the tormentors. If you remember when we were going through 1 Corinthians, when we got to chapter 5, there was the man that was in sin, sexual sin. And Paul says this about that person. He says, you're not to associate with them. You're not even to eat with such a person. As a church, you need to purge the evil person from among you. When we are in sin and we are unforgiving, there will be consequences to that. If we develop a life of bitterness and anger towards people, God will allow us to suffer the consequences of that. In 1 Corinthians 11, this is when people are preparing for the communion table, it says this: whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why so many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. If we don't examine ourselves on a regular basis and let go of sin in our life, there are consequences to that. Now, I can't tell you that if you get sick that it's because you are in sin, but I can tell you that there are consequences if you don't confess your sin and you don't get right with God. And having an unforgiving spirit is sin. And we need to remember that. Well, now that we're believers and we have this ability to forgive others, How do we react to the non-believer around us? Romans 12, 17 and 18. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, Jesus was the perfect man on this planet. And there were people that did not live peaceably with him. That's why he went to the cross. And in this verse it says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. We are to do everything that we can to live at peace with other people. And if we've been offended by someone, we should forgive them. And not only should we forgive them, we should start doing things good for them. We should start honoring them, helping them, doing what we can. We need to be doing good for people. So one of the ways that we respond to the non-believer that has offended us is we forgive, and then we start doing well for them. In 1 Peter, it says this, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. When we are offended by this world, we don't retaliate. We continue to trust in God, continue to give ourselves to God and allow God to deal with it. It's not our part to avenge when we've been offended. We are to give ourselves totally to God, allow God to deal with some of those issues. How do we respond to fellow believers if we've been offended by somebody? What are we to do? We've been given a process in Matthew 18 that we are to follow. And as we follow that process, then our purpose is restoration of our brothers and sisters. And so if we look at Matthew 18, verses 15 and 17, it says this, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector." We have a process that we need to go through with our brothers and sisters. In fact, where we don't necessarily always maybe go to the person in the world that has offended us, if it's a brother or a sister in Christ, we need to go to them. I think we have a higher responsibility for people within the body of Christ to maintain open, honest, and guilt-free relationships, because we are an example to the world. If we can't get along among ourselves, what kind of testimony is that to the world? And so if we can be forgiving of one another within the body of Christ, it is a powerful testimony to people outside of this building when they hear about it. Charles Stanley says this about forgiveness. He says, "Remember, forgiveness is for our benefit. The other person's behavior may never change. It's up to God, not us, to change others. Our responsibility is to be set free from the pressure and weight of an unforgiving attitude. Whatever our pain or situation, we cannot afford to hold on to an unforgiving spirit. We must get involved in the process of releasing others from the debts we feel they owe us. If we keep our eyes on the one who forgave us, it will be a liberating force like nothing we've ever experienced. So once again, our responsibility is to forgive, let that go, and then allow God to work in that person's life. And we need to continually put ourselves in God's hands as a result of that. So our application today, one, is that we need to stay right with God. We need to be examining ourselves. In 1 John 1:9-10, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and so cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. If we are having problems forgiving people, there's sin in our life, and we need to confess that. If we know that we are unforgiving, and we do not think that it's sin, there is something wrong with us, and we need to examine ourselves. An unforgiving spirit is very detrimental, I think, to us. I think as a result of that, we need to examine ourselves daily, and as a result of that, we need to be ready to forgive and to forgive and to forgive and to forgive. If you look at Luke 17, it says, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. It's a constant thing that we have to do to forgive other people. I think a lot of times we offend people. I know in my life I do. Joking with people, sometimes we can offend somebody and not even know it. And I think that's where the Matthew 18 principle comes in. If someone has offended you, whether they know it or not, go to them and talk with them about the offense. If it is a known offense and you approach the brother and he says, I am sorry, then you need to forgive him. I don't think we need to condone sin. We need to confront sin. But once someone asks for forgiveness, then we need to forgive. And I think finally, the thing that we need most importantly to remember is that loving others is our ultimate goal. Loving people in the world, loving people within the church is our ultimate goal. In 1 Corinthians 13:7, it says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. You know, we, as people can be offended very easily. A lot of times when we are offended, it's because we think someone's intruding into our territory or into our space. We think other people are judging us. And we need to remember that our ultimate goal is to love everybody. And love covers a multitude of sins. And as we learn to forgive and we learn to love, then we will start becoming that person that we are in Christ, that new creation that we are. And I think once you practice forgiving, it becomes easier and easier and easier to forgive. Because ultimately we know that it's God who has forgiven us. And as God has forgiven us, as we need to forgive others. I'm kind of rambling here because I'm trying to make a point and I don't know if I'm making the point. If I had to sum up this all of this, I would say this. God has forgiven us. We now need to practice that same thing that God has done for us with other people. And we need to do it from our verses that we memorized this week. We need to do it not reluctantly or under compulsion. We need to do it because God desires for us to forgive other people. I would encourage you this week to examine yourselves. Find out if there's someone that you have not forgiven. And then take the correct steps to correct that in your life. Ask God to forgive you for it. And if it's another brother that you've offended, go to them and apologize. But remember, our ability to forgive is not based on someone apologizing to us. We can forgive because God has forgiven us. Let's pray. Father, as we go through this week, I would just ask that you would give us the ability to look deep within our lives, find out if there are things or people that we have not forgiven, that we are still holding on to things that we need to let go of, or that we should have let go of many years ago, that you would give us that ability to let it go. Father, that we would trust you that if there's any payment that needs to be done for an offense to us, that you will take care of that. That, Father, that you give us open and loving arms to the people around us so that we can be those forgiving, kind-hearted people that you desire us to be. Amen.
Yeah, amen. I guess if God is mighty to save, he certainly can give us the grace we need to be forgiving others. Peter said we need to be growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And God gives grace to the humble. So let's try to put these things into practice this week. Don't forget Friday evening, the neighborhood church picnic down half a mile south of here, and then Saturday, the car show. And if you're going to be or would like to be involved with the car show, next couple of minutes, head on over to E15. Have a good week.